Tur in Hilchot Purim reports that the Gaonim had a practice in the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas in Bavel was that they would recite Tachnun on Purim. Our Minig is not so. Our Minig is that we delete Tachnun on any day that's Yom Tov or semi-Yom Tov or even less than a semi-Yom Tov. Yeah. So the Gaonim explained why they had that practice, that they said Tachnun on Purim. So they say, what better day is there to say Tachnun than on Purim? On Purim our prayers were answered. The whole idea of Purim is that you celebrate over the fact that we were based Zara, and we were mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the tefillahs were answered. So even though our minig is otherwise, we don't say Tachnun, we don't even say Tachnun Erev Purim to Mincha, nonetheless we have the minig that we observe Tainus Esther on Erev Purim. It's a question whether Tainus Esther is a minig or Tainus Esther is Medivik Kabbalah. When it says in the end of the Megillas Esther that the Bnei Yisrael accepted upon themselves Divi Atzamis V'Zah Akosam, so some of the Ibn Ezra has a discussion over there, how do you translate the Pirush HaMilah? So some interpret that they accepted upon themselves a mitzvah Medivik Kabbalah, they accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of observing Purim, just like they had accepted earlier the practice to fast on Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia and Shavasa B'Tamas. And others say no, that they accepted upon themselves both to observe Purim and to observe Tainus Esther. So Tainus Esther is really written in the Megillah. It's not that it's a later minute. So the Rishonim already have two Biurim in the Pasuk in the Megillah Esther. So whichever way it is, Rav Soloveitchik used to suggest the idea that there is really a connection between Tainus Esther and Purim, that we do on Tainus Esther what we really should have done on Purim. The Slichas, with the Tachnun, with the fasting, all of the Zaakos, the Goyim say that's what we really should have done on Purim. So the Maisa, we don't do that because we treat Purim like every other Yom Tov. We hold that Al Pi Minig, it's a Tarte de Sasri. Strictly in Din, it's not a Tarte de Sasri. Let's say some people, Yom Atzmut, they have the practice, they say Hallel and they say Tachnun. So is that, strictly speaking, a Tarte de Sasri? So it really isn't. Because the Gemara has one opinion that on Purim Kriyasa Zu Halela, that you really do recite Halal on Purim by reading the Megillah. That's the fulfillment of the recited. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of reciting Halal. And still, nonetheless, the Gemara said Tachnun. So you see, you can say Tachnun and say Halal on the same day. But I'll be minig if this, we don't. Our minig on Purim is that we don't do that. So that's why most don't have that practice on Yom Ha'atzmaut to say both Tachnun and Halal. Because Al Pi Minig is a tie to the Sas. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that the observance of Tainus Esther is considered a kiyum of Purim. It's not the same as Tainus Bechoros. Tainus Bechoros is separate and Pesach is separate. But Tainus Esther he thought was connected. That's why in the Poskim there's a discussion when the Tainus is over, let's say it's already after, strictly speaking, you're permitted to eat Bein Hashmashos of all Tanaisim, except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. It's a Gemara in Pesachim, Perek Machmas Shenagu. But Tosfos writes in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph and in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Aleph that's not our practice. We don't eat during Bein Hashmashos. Why not? There's a question, why not? So the Bi'ur HaGrua writes the reason why is because there is a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, when is Bein Hashmashos? When is it? So Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that Bein Hashmashos is keherafayim, that it's only a half a moment before Tzeis HaKachav. So the whole time that we consider, the whole 25 minutes that we consider Bein Hashmashos, according to Rabbi Yosef, is really Vada Yoyim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a period, a block of time is Bein Hashmashos. Rabbi Yosef, Mabim Madlikim, is Machlokes Rabbi Yosef. We learned the first daf from Pesach. Rabbi Yosef's Shita is that all of that Zman is really Vada Yoyim, and Bein Hashmashos is only Harifine. So you're allowed to eat in that Harifine. If you can figure out when the Harifine is, you'd be allowed to eat. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be allowed to eat in the whole period of time, the whole 25 minutes in between the Shkiv. So the question is, but let's say it's already after Tzeis HaKachom, tonight. It's already after Tzeis HaKachom, so for sure you're allowed to eat. But they're not going to lay in the Megillah until whatever time. They announce what time they're going to read the Megillah. So why can't you eat in between, after Tzeis HaKachom, before Mikra Megillah? So there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that you're not permitted to eat before your Ben Shentzrik. And the Paskim extend that. Why do they make only Takana by Yesrik? So it's assumed you're not permitted to eat before Tkiyah Shoif, you're not permitted to eat before any mitzvah. Shezmano Iveris. The person say that if your wife had a baby boy and you're having a bris milah that day, so the Avi Aben is not allowed to eat before the moel does the bris milah. So it's recommended to have the bris in the morning. And so some say that Pidyon HaBen also, if the father has to do Pidyon HaBen today, so he shouldn't eat before he does the Pidyon HaBen. So that's a problem. So many have the practice to do the Pidyon HaBen right before the Shkia. He has to fast all day. Probably not. But there is such a din d'rabbanan. So the Pashtus is he's certainly not permitted to eat a real meal before Kriyas HaMegillah. But to have Tima B'Yalma before Mikra Megillah, what could be the Yisr? So some poskim hold that you're not allowed to have Tima before Ma'ariv. Some poskim hold just like before Shachris, you're not permitted to have Tima. So before Ma'ariv also, you're not allowed to have Tima. But the Minig Olam is lahokel on that. Many people even have a meal before Ma'ariv. They dab Ma'ariv in a minyan kavua, it is man kavua. So here also, let's everybody's sitting in shul, and they just finished the tainus, and it says after tzeisa kachavim, and the balkari didn't arrive yet because of the snow, because of the blizzard, whatever, and they're going to have to wait another half hour. So they're not even allowed to have te'imo. What's the big chumer? That's the question. So some poskim say, nachanami, if it's a tainus kashalov, I didn't see where you were sitting. If it's a tainus kashalov, then you're permitted to have te'imo. And others say, no, I feel a tainus kashalov, it's not proper. It's not proper to have team or before Mikra Megillah. Before Mikra Megillah, what's the big paid over here? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to suggest, that maybe it's not so much before Mikra Megillah. Before Mikra Megillah by Yom, we would be Mekel. He thought that maybe the pshat is like this, that we want to have a connection between Tainus Esther and Purim, that on Tainus Esther we're really doing what we really should have observed on Purim, the way the Torah quotes in the name of the Goyim. The Okois and the Trinus and the Tfilos. So we fast until we begin to fulfill the mitzvah Hayom of Purim, until we read the Megillah. That was his suggestion. The Gemara has in the beginning of Megillah, and Dalad and Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, that you have to read the Megillah Balayla and to repeat the Megillah again by Yom. In the Mishnayos, the Megillah, this does not appear. In the Mishnayos, they list off the mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled by Yom, and some mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled by Laila. And the Mishnah only mentions the mitzvah Mikra Megillah by Yom. It does mention at all the mitzvah Megillah by Laila. That's on Chotam at base. Kol Yom Kosher the Mikra Megillah, the Kriyas Halut, Kriyas Shofen, the Tzilas Lulu, Tzilas Musaf, and Hakrov is Korban Musaf, and Vidui Parma, Vidui Mais, and then it says Kol Laila is Kosher, the Tzilas Yom, the Hektachalav Meyavorim. And it doesn't mention Kol HaLaila's Kasha and Mikra Megillah. Why not? You can read the Megillah all night long. Why is that not mentioned? So some want to say, Rav Shlomo Levilna has in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo about this. Some Achreinim came up with this suggestion that maybe Rabbi Shua ben Levi's statement on Dalet and Aleph that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah Balayla, maybe he was the one who instituted that. Maybe that's a Takanas Amorah. Maybe Bizman HaTanoim it didn't exist. The Pashup Shat in Gemara is not so. Pashup Shat in Gemara and the Rishonim at this, the Rishonim is still not so. But this is a suggestion that some Achreinim have. Some other Achreinim don't want to say so far off such an extreme position, but they want to say that maybe Mikra Megillah Bayom is considered the Rikabolah. Mikra Megillah Balailo perhaps is only Midirabbanon. There are different levels of mitzvahs Midirabbanon. A mitzvah Midirabbanon that's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh and Tanakh has a slightly higher level of Chomer Hadin. It's considered Dibre Kabbalah. Dibre Kabbalah could Dibre Torah Damyam with respect to the Gemara in Tainus has such a lotion. Dibre Kabbalah could Dibre Torah Damyam. The Marshal Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Turei Evin that if a person is misupik if he heard the Megillah a lot, let's say he's misupik if he missed the word. So Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Turei Evin that since Dibre Kabbalah, Dibre Torah Damyam, the Mikra Megillah is Dibre Kabbalah, so you would say Sveika the Rabbana Lechumra here. So some poskim want to say, the Turei Evin wants to say that, and the Tosfos Dalet and Aleph. Tosfos says that the Chiyuv to hear the Megillah Bayoyim is more Chomer than the Chiyuv to hear the Megillah Balayla. It means more Chomer. This is the Rabbana, this is the Rabbana. So that's what the Turei Evin wants to say, that the all of the mitzvahs of Purim are only observed by Yom. The Gemara says, Hudas Purim shaso balaylo lo yotze yidei chayvase. That's the Gemara and Abzayin on the And the Shulchan Aruch, they extend this to all of the other mitzvahs of Yom as well, that the same applies with respect to Shalach Manas and Matanas Lev Yonim. So the same should apply to Mikra Megillah. So Akam Rabbi Shimon Levi says that you have Mikra Megillah Balayla also. So that's what the Turei Evin suggests. Well, maybe Mikra Megillah Balayla Taka is only Midirabbanan. Maybe the Mikra Megillah Balayim is Midirabbanan. The Mikra Megillah Balayla perhaps is only Midirabbanan.
Just a mushroom requirement. I suggest that we first on Ayla, I'm going to go to Balayla. I'm sure it's a mistake in how long you're going to be doing it. Rabbi Shimon Levi originally said mitzvah chai varam mitzvah megillah balayla ulashanosa bayom. So the Talmidim thought ulashanosa meant to learn the Mishnayos. So the misnim asnitim didor b'yomom. You have to go to Mishnayos megillah bayom. They didn't understand that he said that you have to read the Megillah Bayom. So they thought that there's no Mikra Megillah Bayom. I don't know. What did they do with the Mishnah Vesha's Mishnah? Then they came to the realization that it doesn't mean that. It means you have to learn the Megillah twice. You have to learn it by Laila and learn it by Yom. So that's what Taisus points out. Once you come to the Maskana, so the truth of the matter is that the Ikar Mitzvah is Bayom. The Ikar Havi Bi Mama. Ikar Asura Bi Mama. Could the Amala come up? That's what Taisus says. That's where we assume the Shulchan Aruch. The Ikar Mitzvah is Mikra Megillah. Is Bayom. So what does that mean? The Ikar Mitzvah is Bayom. So some poskim want to say that Balailov is only Takanas Rabbi Shimon Levi, that's why it doesn't appear in the Mishnah. And the Ritvo and the Rishonim who work on that Kasha, how come it doesn't appear in the Mishnah Chacham and Beis, and don't say that Teret. They obviously hold that it did exist as Manatanoim. It wasn't an institution that was begun in the days of Rabbi Shimon Levi. So still, the Turi Yevim suggests maybe Balailov is only Midirabonim. Bayom might be Midirabonim Kabbalah, Balailov would be. So there Rabbi Shulman Levi has two sources for his din. Two Amaroim have two sources. One is Rabbi Shulman Levi and one is Rabbi Chelvu Amarula Biro. So one mandama Rabbi Shulman Levi bases it on the pasuk in Tilim, Elokai Erkei Yomam Elokeinu V'Laila V'lo Domnio Li, that he calls out to Hashem. That happens to be in Tilim Chavez. That's the perek that the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chavtes, says is alluding to the Nes Purim. That was the perek in Tilim that Esther recited when she realized that the Jews were in big trouble. Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani, and so on. That whole perek was recited by Esther on that occasion. So in that perek it says, that we daven to Hashem Bayom, and we daven to Hashem Balayla, and we repeat the tefillahs in the hope that maybe the prayers stand a better chance of being answered if you repeat them. That's the Yisoid Adin of Nehilo. The Mishnayos have in Maseches Titus that Ne'ila is not a specifically a Yom Kippur Dika davening. Ne'ila was an additional prayer that was recited on every Tainus Sibur. The Goyim say that Bizman Hazeh we don't recite Ne'ila because we don't have any Tainus Sibur Bevovo. The Tainus that we observe are only a Pchina like a Tainus Yoch. It doesn't have the full status of a Tainus Sibur. But when they really had a din of a Tainus Sibur, so then the Mishnayos said that they would add on Tfilas Ne'ila. So the Rishalmi says, what is it based on? That you add on another tefillah, another Shemana Esrei. So the Yerushalmi explains based on the pasuk Gam ki tzarbus tefillah in any shemeya yidechem domim malei. The pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya, that there is an inyan of tzarbus tefillah, ribui tefillah. The person is mar b'vit tefillah, he stands a better chance of having his tefillah answered. So that's what Rabbi Shulman Levi quotes from that teret in Tilim Chabbeis. So l'kai ekra yamam alay sana, v'layla v'lo dumioli, that when Esther was based Torah, whenever anybody is based Torah, so they should be mispalt Hashem more than once. They should repeat the tefillah. They should repeat the tefillah by Yom Balayla. So similarly, we recite the Mikra Megillah by Yom Balayla. What does that mean? A zecher to the fact does it mean that it's a zecher? Rashi writes zecher l'nesha yizorkim imeitzaras on yom v'layla. So Rashi writes that it's a zecher that they were davening beis tzara bayom v'balayla. So later on, when the chachamim were misakin the mikra megillah, they're misakin it bayom v'balayla. So one could learn a little differently, not like Rashi. Rashi taka says zecher l'nesha, but in Shulchan Aruch the Mechaber quotes from one of the Rishonim, I think the Or Chaim, seems to learn a little differently, that the like the Goyim say that their minig b'shtei yeshivas was that they said Tachnun on Purim. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Whether you say Tachnun or not, the Gemara doesn't take the stand, but the Gemara is saying that the Mikra Megillah is a form of Trina, a form of Tvila to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Esther was davening Yomam Leisana V'Laila V'Lodim Yuli. She repeated her prayers, so she was based Zorah. So our reading of the Mikra Megillah is also a form of Trina in Zoko, in Tvila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Yeshua, just like he gave a Yeshua in the days of Martchel Yester. And then the Gemara gives another marker for this practice, that you have to read the Megillah Balayla or Lashanosa Bayom, based on a different pasuk in Tilim. So that's already a normal drasha, that we understand, that when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him in appreciation of the Yeshuas that he gave us, that we praise him Bayom and we praise him Balayla. You don't just say, thank you very much, see you next time. Help. No, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you repeat the Haidoy, you repeat the thanks. So that's the other pasuk, that the reading of the Megillah is a form of Hallel.
The Gemara says on Yudalit Amaralit is a form of halal or something like that. Even if it's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah halal, but it certainly is a way to express thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first opinion that the Gemara quoted, that the mocker for the din of reading the Megillah Balayla Vubayom is a Lakaya Kiram Alasana Vilayla Velo Domilu, is very interesting. If you learn like Rashi, it doesn't say anything, it's just Zechel Nes, just like since in the days of Esther they had Zaoka Bayom Balayla, so we give the Haidoya Bayom Balayla. That's how Rashi learned. But the Mechabe quote, the Yorchas Chaim, seems to learn not so. He says that the reading of the Megillah is a kiyum of chinas, a kiyum of zaoka, that we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should continue to give us Yeshua. The Yorchas Chaim writes, the Mechabe quotes the Yorchas Chaim is saying the following. We have the practice that one person, the Baal Kori, reads the Megillah and everybody's Yetzav at Shemei Kohen. So the question is, but Shemei Kohen doesn't work by davening, by Shemona Esrei. The Yerushalmi in the end of Rosh Hashanah, quoted by the Ran there, says that there are three exceptions to the rule of Shemei Kohen. One is Kriya Shema. We want everybody to be Mekabel Ol Mapa Shemaim on his own. You shouldn't rely on Shemei Kohen. One is Birchas Hanen and Birchas Hamozen. If you want to eat the food, so say the Hamotzi yourself and say the Birchas Hamozen on your own. Don't rely on someone else's broch. The fact that we say Hamotzi and Lamotzi everybody else, that's a special din that's not based on Shemei Kohen. It's only if they're all Mesiv together. Why do you need a Seber? You don't need a Seber for Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says, in order to be Moitzi somebody else with Hamoitzi or with Bar Pia Gofen, you have to have a Seber. That's why many people have the practice of sitting when they say Kiddush, because you want to say Bar Pia Gofen and be Moitzi all the other Bnei Abayis with the Bracha Rishayna. So the Gemara says, you have to have a Seber for that. What opinion is Gemara? You have to have a Seber for the Yayin. So that shows that that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. That's a separate din, that's a special din. That it's as if the whole Chabura together was offering one Birchas HaNenin. Or benching Mezumin at the end, Bizmana Gemara, and the Mishnah Berurah says that's the Ikra din, that the practice Bizmana Gemara was that when they bench Mezumin, one person would say the benching, and the other people would just say Amen. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Mishnah Berurah has it, Kemat says this language, he quotes the early Rachoinim, that benching Mizumin is not based on Shemei Kohen, that one person benches, the other say Amen, and they Yoitze, as if they had said it. No, the whole Chabur together offers one Birchas HaMazon. He thought that maybe it's a Din Deraisa like that. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. That in Atarid, it's a different nature of a Birchas HaMazon. It's not that every individual person is obligated to bench, the whole Chabur offers one benching. But the Yerushalmi, that's how you have to say, because the Yerushalmi says that we don't allow Shemei Kohen by Birchas HaNen and Birchas HaMozen. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Kriya Shema. You should be Mekabel and Malchus Shemaim on your own. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Shemona Esrei either. If you have a Choyle B'Soch Leisecho, you need a Shidduch, you want to have children, you want to have Parnasa, you want to get a spot in graduate school, whatever your needs are, whatever you need. So ask for it yourself. Don't rely on somebody else and just say, Amen. You should ask for it yourself. So the Orchis Chaim is bothered with a problem. How do we all rely on Shemei Kohen by Mikra Megillah? Isn't there something strange with that? So he says the din is, let's say by Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara has a din by Birchas. The Gemara Chulin has a din by Birchas HaMazon. If you have two people ate a meal and only one of them knows how to bench and the other one doesn't know how to read, he does not benching by heart, he doesn't know how to read. He can't bench. And we don't have a mezumin that you should be able to bench mezumin that one will bench and the other will say amen. So then the Gemara says, look, if you have no choice, then the seifa mevorach ubur yaitze bivachasa. The seifa is the one who is the scholarly person who knows how to read with nekudas, and the boor is the guy who doesn't know how to say the benching. So the Gemara says that you allow Shemei Kohen if the fellow is an Amhorit. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon. How do you allow it? If the Yerushalmi says that there were three exceptions to the rule, but we don't allow Shemei Kohen, and one of them is Birchas HaMazon. So the answer obviously is that all the three exceptions are only Midir Rabbanon. Where do you have a pasuk in the Chumash? These are all Svaris Midir Rabbanon. In Atari you say Shemei Kohen on everything. Midir Rabbanon, we don't allow Hechad Efshar, we don't allow Shemei Kohen by davening. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Kriya Shema. We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Birchas HaNehen and Birchas HaMozen. But the Leis Breire, Bishas HaTchak, if the fellow ate a million doesn't know how to bench, so what are you going to do? Tell him he should learn how to bench. It'll take him a week till he learns how to bench. It'll be too late to bench then. So then the Gemara says, if you have no choice, so this Orchis Chaim says like this. If you don't know how to read the Megillah, so then you have no choice, so then you have to rely on Shemei Kohen. But if you have a shul where a lot of people do know how to read the Megillah, they may not know the truck, They may not know what will trip, but they can figure out more or less, they've heard the Megillah every year, year after year, twice every year. And they can figure out more or less how to read the Megillah, and the trup is not ma'akev. So basically they can read the Megillah on their own. So then the Ochas Chaim says, we wouldn't allow Shemeh, we only allow Shemeh Kaina Megillah if the people who are listening don't know how to read. Or if they do know how to read, we would only allow Shemeh Kaina if you have a minion. Otherwise we wouldn't allow Shemeh Kaina by Megillah. So the Mogen Avraham asks, why not? The Mechaber quotes this from the Ochas Chaim. So the Mogen Avraham asks, why not? The only three exceptions to the rule were Kriya Shema, and Birchas Hanen and Birchas Hamazon, and Tefillah. So why should the Ochas Chaim hold that if the other Shomim, if the Shomim are Bikiyim, we wouldn't allow Shema Kaina unless you have a minion? What is that based on? So the Mogen Avraham says, apparently the Ochas Chaim holds that it's similar to davening Shmon Esrei. That's the din. The Gemara in the end, the last davening Rosh Hashanah says, when it comes to davening Shmon Esrei, if the one is a seif and one is a boor, so then it can be yotzei with the shemeh kaina of the other one, like benching. The Gemara says, seif and bevaruch boor yotzei bevachasa. But if they all know how to daven on their own, then we only allow shemeh kaina if you have a tzibur of asora. There's a special chachamim we never machmen b'ki haygam. So that's apparently what the Ochas Chaim holds. So Rav Soloveitchik once suggested that maybe the mocker is this Gemara. Maybe the Ochas Chaim understood the Gemara not like Rashi, that Zeichel Anesh or Yezerakim, the Meitz HaRosam Yom Valaylo. So we too thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Yom HaBalay. Maybe the Pshat is know that our reading of the Megillah is a Kiyum of Tefillah, it's a Kiyum of Zohar, like the Goyim say, it's a Kiyum like Tchinas. So that's why the Ochas Chaim held that it should be treated the same as tefillah, that you would only allow shemeh kaina if the shomim are bikiyim, if you have atzara.
It's not really parallel to tefillah. If you have less than atzara, it never works.
If you have less than atzara, what?
It never works for tefillah. As the Gemara said, without a minion, there is no such thing. Is there any shomeh that we would evidently?
Yeah, if the Shomea is an Eino Bokhi, if he does not, so it'll be the same as benching. Just like the Gemara says by benching. All three were put together B'chad HaMachta, Kriya Shema, and Birchas HaMazon, and Birchas HaNenin, and Tefillah.
Don't we say that once you have a minion, it's only
Eino Bokhi? That's the question. How the Ochas Chaim Paskins on that Gemara? So he apparently, the Mogen Avraham says apparently he's making a comparison between Kriya Shema Megillah and Tefillah. So apparently he understood that that's it in by Tefillah. You have to look in the Gemara.
The Maskanas in Gemara by there was the only time, even though the Tzadik said that a Baki could be noted, it's only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even the day.
Okay, so you have a question. The details are problematic. The details of this Ochas Chaim problematic. How does it really correspond to what it says in the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah and in the Shulchan Aruch? That's the problem. There is a Gemara on Yud Tes on the base, a famous Peladiki Gemara that Achronim had great difficulty with. The Gemara on Yud Tes on the base draws a distinction between reading the Megillah B'Yochid and reading the Megillah B'Tzibur. If you have a Megillah Haksuva Ben Haksuvim and you read it B'Tzibur, then you're not Yotzei. We usually have Megillah Esther that's separate. But let's say here in the Beis Medrash they have for the Haftorahs, they learn from a klav, so they have Yecheskel with Treyosa together, I think they may have Yishayah with Yirmiyah together, I think they have Yeshua Shoshim together. So that's legitimate, you're permitted to have a few Svarim together. The Gemara Bava Basra in the first Perek discusses when you have a few Svarim together, how many blank lines do you have to leave between one safe and the other? Between, we have it in the Chumash, Bereshish Shmos, Veikubah Midbar Dvarim. You have five Svarim together. So the Gemara says in the Sifrei Torah, you have to leave four blank lines in between Bereshis and Shmos, and in between Shmos and Vayikra, and so on. If you have Sifrei Hanaviim, then the Gemara, I think, says you only leave three blank lines in between one safe and the other. And that's what the Rashash points out in the first parak in Bava Basra, that he saw Sifrei Hanaviim in Vilna, where they had Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, and they had three blank lines in between. And they had Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis with three blank lines in between. So he says that that's not correct, that Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis is one safer. And Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis is one safer, and Ezra Nehemiah is one safer. Ezra Nehemiah, we don't lay in Maklap, but if you were to write in Ezra Nehemiah, so the Gemara says that it's only one safer, it's not two Svarim. The Christians were the ones who made that Chiddush, that Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis are two books, and Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis are two books, it's really one. So The Gemara on Yutesim Beis discusses such a chetim. A person has a Megillah Esther that's written together with, in one cloth. All the Chamish Megillahs, like we have Chamish and Chamish Torah in one cloth. You have all the Chamish Megillahs written on one cloth. So the Gemara says that if you lain b'tzibur from such a cloth, lo yotza. Only if you lain b'yachid. So the Turi Eben, Shagasari wrote a commentary on Megillah that's called Turi Eben. Megillah Chagigan Rosh Hashanah. So the Shagasari has in the Turi Eben, yes, the famous Kasha, the Gemara doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? If you have, if you lay in the Megillah B'yachid, the Megillah Ksuvah Ben Aksuvim, then you would be Yoytze. If you lay in the B'tzibur, then you're not Yoytze. So treat all the Tzibur as if they're Yechidim. Dalmei Hocha the Tzibur. So how can you say that B'tzibur you're not Yoytze? Pilek Loim. So the Turi Eben gives an easy answer. He says that the Gemara means to say that you're not Yoytze the Tzibur, the Gedin of Kriyas and Megillah. You're Yoytze B'Toris Yochid, but you're not Yoytze B'Toris Tzibur. What's the difference if you're Yoytze anyway? So he says, well, number one, lechatchila, many poskim say you're supposed to lay in b'tzibur. On Hayom at Aleph, the Gemara has machlokes Rav Ravasi, where the Megillah bismana, so you have to be mahadah to have a minyan. So some Rishonim say you should be choshesh for Rav's choshesh shishitas Ravasi, that you have to have a minyan afilu on Purim. Not only when you lay in shalom bismana, even when you lay in bismana, you have to have a minyan. So we should be choshesh also for Shitas Ravasi lechatchila. That's how some Rishonim hold. Number two, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't say the bracha achroina haravis rivein v'adonis dinyana. You don't recite that bracha unless you're reading the Megillah b'tzibur. So if you're reading b'tzibur b'megillah aksuvah ben aksum, so it wouldn't be considered a kriya shel tzibur, would only be considered like a kriya b'yachidus. So then you wouldn't be then you wouldn't say the bracha shalachreu haravis rivein. Or the Turi Eben has another nafkemina. Let's say for the case. When you have the Bnei HaKfar Magdimim Liyay Maknisa, when they lay on the Monday and Thursday before Purim, so then the Gemara says that they have to lay in the Tzibur, they have to have a minyan. So if they're going to lay in it with a minyan, but the Megillah Ksuvah Ben Aksuvim, so then it'll be Lo Yotza, you won't be Yotza the Tzibur Digadin, it'll only be a Yachid Digadin, and the Yachid Yechidim have no right to lay on Monday or Thursday before. The cooler that you can lay on the Yay Maknisa prior to Purim is only when you lay in the Tzibur. That's how the Turi Eben says. Others find it very difficult. The Chelkas Yoyev has a whole attack against this Turi Eben. He doesn't like that. He tines, because the Turi Eben didn't give three nafkiminas. The Turi Eben only gave one nafkimina. I gave three. I gave one is because lechatchila you should be mahada to have a minyan. So if you have Megillah Ksuvah Ben Aksuvim, your minyan is nishke minyan. It's considered that you only yotze biyof. Then the second nafkimina I gave was with respect to the bracha haravish rivenu. Turi Eben doesn't say either of those. He just gives one nafkimina for the Bnei Akvar Magdim and Liyam Aknisa. Din is on Daf Hayam at Aleph. The Bnei Akram can only lay in the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa if they have an Asur. So the Chalkis Yoyev was a Talmud of Davni Neza in our century. So the Chalkis Yoyev has a Taina against the Turi Eben, but that Kula of Yom HaKnisa doesn't apply Bisman as that. The Gemara says that was only Bisman HaMikdash, and after the Churban by Sheni, it no longer applies. So how can the Shulchan Aruch possibly quote this Din in the Gemara, the Megillah HaKsuvah Ben HaKsuvim Layotza B'tzibur, if we don't have any kriya on Yom HaKnisa Bizman Hazeh? If the whole nafkimina for the din of Ksuvah Ben HaKsuvim B'tzibur Lo Yotza is only with respect to the Yom HaKnisa, so there is no Yom HaKnisa Bizman Hazeh, so the din should not be quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. None of the din of Yom HaKnisa are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim.
I mean, if they quote the Shulchan Aruch, the din, let's say, for Simamish, couldn't hear it on firm at all.
Yeah.
So
the Pashtus says that the din of Yom HaKnisa is quoted. It says if a person is going on a business trip, so he cannot take a Megillah with him because the community only has one kosher Megillah, and he knows he's not going to be back. He's gone to Olash. He's not going to be able to come back before Purim. So what does he do? So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that he should read the Megillah on one of the Yemei HaKnisa, on one of those days. And then some even go so far as to say, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, the whole thing is Yerushalmi, it doesn't say in the Bavli. And others say, not only on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, even earlier, Mitchilas HaChodesh, because it says, HaChodesh HaShanah Pachayim, you can even lay the Megillah before. So the Magen Avraham says, with respect to that Kriya, that's a Kriya Mukdemah, so for that, it'll have the same status as the Yom HaKnisa, that you need a Minyan Asura. Yeah, that's a question whether the Magen Avraham is right. The Magen Avraham is Mecharif Ben Anazon. The Orach HaShulchan takes issue with that Magen Avraham. He says that when you lay in the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, you say a bracha. When you lay in the Megillah because you personally are going on a business trip,
you lay it earlier on the Yom Yiralef, you base your Gimel, or you lay it Mitchilas HaChedesh earlier, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't say a bracha. How come you don't say a bracha? So I would have said you don't say a bracha because, like on Bedikas Chometz Kodem Zmana, you don't say a bracha because it's not the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So the Aruch says here also it's not the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is when you lay in the Megillah when the Takanas Chachamim was. And this is that this really Shalai Kefik Takanas Chachamim. It's only a second level, it's a lower level Kima Mitzvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan understands otherwise. He says, nah, Zeglata Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's nothing but nothing. It's just a Zecher. You feel bad that you're going to miss the Kriyas and Megillah, so we'll make you feel not so bad. So read the Megillah. But he says, you're not yet to anything. You're not yet to anything. So he says, how did Magen Avraham come off to say that you need a minyan? So he says, that's exactly why you don't say a bracha, because you're not yet to any Mikra Megillah. The Bnei Akbar, Magdim, Aliyah, Maknisa, Zakta, Aruch HaShulchan, today, you're to the Mikra Megillah. That was the Takonat HaShikness, Agdala, the Gemara says. But you're going on a business trip. You don't have the din of Bnei Akram. You're going on a trip and you feel bad. You're going to miss Mikra Megillah. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Yerushalmi, read the Megillah earlier, that's garnish Megillah. That's just a sentimental zechah to Mikra Megillah. It doesn't mean anything. So he says, so why should you need a minyan for that? That's his argument. It's not shaila whether the Aruch HaShulchan had the correct understanding of the din. That's why you don't say a bracha when you lay in the Megillah on Yud Aleph. Is because there's no mitzvah Mikra Megillah. The Pashto says that you are. The Yerushalmi is saying that you are Yaitzin Mikra Megillah. Not that it's just a sentimental kriya. That you shouldn't feel too bad. You shouldn't feel too guilty that you're missing the Mikra Megillah. That's a shot. Anyway, the Magen Avraham says like that. And in that case, you also need Asara. So the Chalkes Yoav again. The Chalkes Yoav doesn't like the Turi Evan's interpretation. He gives this argument. He says, Turi Evan only gave one nafkimina for the Bnei Akbar Magdim Liyam Maknisa, they need a minyan. So he says, since Bizman Azeh, we don't have that cooler, so why does the Shulchan Aruch quote this in that B'tzibah you're not yet to see? He says, if you ask me, Pshat is different. It doesn't mean B'tzibah versus B'yochid, 10 people versus 9 people. He says, B'tzibah means when you're relying on Shemei Akta'ina, and B'yochid means when you're laning it yourself. So when you're laying the Megillah yourself, then even if it's Ksuvah Bein HaKsuvim, it's okay. But if you're relying on Shemei Kaina, then the din requires that it has to be separate. It cannot be together with the others. Philip Loin, why should it be so? So just to comment on his interpretation, why does the Gemara call Shemei Kaina B'tzibur? Why is that called B'tzibur? So if one will say like this, Orchas Chaim, the Shver Orchas Chaim, that's Mechavah quotes at Lamocha, that you cannot be Moitzi, the Bikiyim, the Pachas Me'asara, but then we understand how he's interpreting the Gemara. Still a Shver, a Taich, what he interprets in the Gemara, that when you have to rely on Shemei Kaina, then you have to lay in a Megillah that's separate. And when you're laying in yourself, then the Megillah can be together with all the other Megillahs. Then it doesn't bother me. The Shver of the way he says. Anyway, it's a shver din in the Gemara anyway. However you slice it, it's a strange shtikla Gemara. Why should it make a difference between B'yochid and Mitzibah? Even after the Turi Evan gives his interpretation, that means he won't be yotze the Tzibah Digadin, but the B'yochid Digadin, he will be yotze. Why shouldn't he be yotze the Tzibah Digadin? Why should that be so? It's strange, the whole din is strange. Okay. Kovet HaTzibur, yeah. I thought that was the Pshat in the Gemara. The Pasuk says in the end of Parsha's bow, Kodesh Bo, Yom HaShem HaMoshe, K'sov Zos Yikorm HaSefer, V'sim Bo'ozni Yoshua, K'moch HaEm Chazdech HaMomet. So what does it mean, K'sov Zos Yikorm HaSefer? Eze Sefer. What Sefer? So the Gemara says in Megillah, and that Zainam Ralph, so that's the Karma Sefer means, the Sefer Torah. It refers to the Sefer Torah. The Ibn Ezra has two Pshatim on the Pasuk. You can always rely on the Ibn Ezra to give a Pshat different from the Gemara. But the Ibn Ezra has a suggestion that maybe the Sefer is the Sefer Mohammed Hashem. Where's the Pasuk? In Chukas. At the end of Chukas it says. The Sefer Mohammed Hashem. So what is the Sefer Mohammed Hashem? So the Ibn Ezra there has two interpretations. One interpretation is that they had a book that had a history book that had all the wars written down. So why is it called Mohammed Hashem?
So the Ramban explains because all melchamas al Hashem. The Rabban Shalom fears all the melchamas. The Ramban quotes this Ibn Ezra in Parshas Bo, the end of Parshas Bo, on the Parsha of Amalek, and he disagrees in a big way. He doesn't like it at all. He says that the Ibn Ezra's suggestion is a psad toano. He says some ungechepet on the. Not only says that it's wrong, says Tam Ongechepet on the Chachamim. The Emes of Pshat is what it said in the Gemara. But the Ibn Ezra had such a suggestion that it refers to the Sefer Melchamas Hashem, that's a history book that they had. The Ramban likes the second Pshat, because that's what it says in the Gemara. That Sefer Melchamas Hashem and Ksav Zazikar Masefer, everything is referring to the Sefer Torah. It's not referring to anything else. It's the Sefer Torah. So it's interesting. In the end of Mishpatim, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sefer Abris, and he's making the Kriyas Bris with Bnei Yisrael. What is the Sefer Abris? What are these additional Svarim that are referred to? Someone writes a Sefer and he keeps on referring to other Svarim. Sefer Melchamas Hashem. What's the Sefer Abris? The Rashi says, no outside Svarim. The Chumash doesn't refer to any other Svarim. In the Megillah, it says to refer. How does it say in the end of Megillah? It's written all Sefer. Divrei Hayom Lachli Foras Amara. That's a book referring to another book. Okay. But in the Chumash, if the Chachamim had a tradition, the Chumash doesn't refer to any other books. The Sefer Melchamas Hashem is the Sefer Torah, and Ksav Zazikar Masefer is the Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Abris in Parashas Mishpatim is also the Sefer Torah. It doesn't refer to any outside Svarim. What is the Sefer Abris? So Rashi writes from Bereshis until Maimon HaSinai. That was the Sefer Abris, everything that was written down. So it's interesting that it's the Sefer Torah is referred to as the Sefer Abris. When you make a contract with somebody, so usually you write it, a chozeh, usually you write it down, sign a contract. Strictly, al pi halacha, you don't need a contract. If you make all the agreements bal peh, I say if he paints my apartment, if he fixes my automobile, I'll pay him so much and so much money. So the agreement is binding even if there is no written contract. But the minigoylam usually is that you write a contract. Often you write a contract. So here also, when the bris was entered into between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bnei Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give brachas and klolas. If we keep the mitzvah, he's going to give brachas. If not, he's going to give klolas. We were meshabed ourselves, and he was meshabed reciprocal, his chayvisim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wants to have a contract. He wants to have a sefer HaBris. So the Sefer HaBris for the Kabbalah HaTorah at Har Sinai was the Luchas HaBris, and the Sefer Torah is called the Sefer HaBris, the whole Sefer Torah. Then the Chachamim say that at the time of after the Nes Purim, it was Kimu V'Kiblu, there was another Hod Kiblu Me'ach HaShoresh, there was another Kabbalah HaTorah. So it could be that the Chachamim understood that because there was another Kabbalah Sater, the Baruch Shalom had to give another Sefer HaBris. And the Megillah Sester represents that Sefer HaBris. So it could be that that's why they understood that the Megillah Sester has that as a separate, unique status over and above the other Sifrei, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. Let's say you'll have a Sefer Torah written, Chamishul Chamishul Torah written together, and you'll attach Sefer Yoshua with the Sefer Torah. So will you be able to learn from such a Sefer Torah? You have the Chamishul Chamishul Torah with Sefer Yeshua. You have the whole Tanakh, the Glila Achas. The Gemara talks about that. The Gemara Bar Basra, in the first Torah, they used to have all of Tanakh on one hemshot, one long cloth, the Glila Achas. So would you be able to learn Kriyas HaTorah from such a cloth? I don't know, you got to look in Shulchan Aruch. But my guess would be that maybe not. Maybe not, because the Rambam and Hilchas Sefer Torah writes that if you have a Sefer Torah and it has... is missing a letter, it's possible. And then he writes, if it has an extra letter, it's also possible. If you have Yitar Isachas, it's possible because yes, it can Atuldom. So maybe if you have a whole Sefer, you can't say a Sefer that doesn't belong. The whole Tanakh can be written with Lilachas. You can't say it's a Sefer that doesn't belong. It's not that you put Shakespeare together with the Sefer that doesn't belong. The Tanakh does belong. It does blend in. But still, this is Sefer HaBris, and that's not Sefer HaBris. It could be the fact that the Chamishul Chamishul Torah is Sefer HaBris gives them a special status. So if you have Yeshua, which is not part of the Sefer HaBris, together with the Sefer HaBris, could be that would be considered a p'china of Yesek and Atal Domi, and it would take away, it'll be considered as if it's missing part of the Sefer HaBris. So it could be that that's what the Gemara meant over here. That if you have a Megillah HaKsuva, Bein HaKsuvim, you can have a whole Tanakh beglila achas. It certainly has the status of Torah Shebichsa, but if you want to have the Megillas, if it's true that because of the Kimu v'Kiblu, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to give another Sefer Abris, another Sefer that should be like the Chozeh, something, some written object, even though it doesn't really say too much of his chas, it just says Kimu v'Kiblu, that's all it says. It doesn't repeat the Taryag Mitzvah, it just says Kimu v'Kiblu, but it could be that that's enough to declare that the Megillah Esther has the status of a Sefer Abris like the Chamishu Chumash Torah, like the Luchas Abris and the Chamishu Chumash Torah constitute the Sefer Abris. So it could be that if you have a separate Megillah Esther like we always read from, that has the status of Torah Shebichsav and also has the status of a Sefer Abris. And if you have the Megillah Esther Ksuva Bein HaKsuvim together with other Svarim, even together with the other Chumash Megillahs, maybe that would be considered a yeser kenatal domi, and the Megillah Esther would no longer be considered on the status of a Sefer Abris. So it will be Torah Shebichsa, but it won't be Sefer Abris. So the Gemara says in Gittin, I thought that was a pshat. The Gemara says in Perek HaNizokin, let's say you have a Sefer Shemos. This week is Parshas Kisisa. So Parshas Kisisa and Sefer Shemos. So you want to lay Meter HaKsav. See, if you're going to have a cloth that only has Parshas Kisisa written on it, that's called Kriya Bal Peh, because if you have less than a Sefer Shalom, that's not called Ksav. So the Kriya is not Mitech HaKsav. Let's say you're laying Kriya HaTorah from a printed Chumash. That's not Mitech HaKsav. That's printed. Yes, a why Svarim sale is printing. They call it a Sefer, but it's a hoax. It's a fake. It's not a Sefer. If you didn't say it means it's Kosa Beglila, Beglath, Bidyo, Kehechshe Sefer. Not that it's printed on paper and so on. So if you want to link Kriya HaTorah, you can't just take a Parshas Kisisa. So that's going to be Bal Peh. So what if you have a Sefer Shalom, Sefer Shmos, that'll be Metech HaKsav. So there's nothing wrong with that. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's nothing wrong, but Mipnei Kovod HaTzibur, we don't allow it. You have to have Dafke, a Sefer Shalom. So what does that mean, you need a Sefer Shalom? What does that mean, you need a Sefer Shalom? So the Ramua writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah the following. He says, if you have a Sefer Torah, and you have to learn Parshas Kisisa, and Chumash Shmos has no mistakes, the Sefer checked, the Chumash Shmos has no, but we know that there is a mistake in Chumash Vayikra. So the Ramah says, Meikir Adin, you can really learn from a Chumash Shmos. All you need is a Sefer Shalom that is being Metech HaKsav. The Ramah just says, Matan Kovod HaTzibur, it doesn't look nice. It looks like they're so poor. They're such aniyim that they can't afford to have a Sefer Torah, Bishlei Muso. So Matan Kovod HaTzibur, you're not allowed to learn from a Sefer Shmos alone. But he says, if you have the whole Sefer Torah, and it looks like they're knackers like all the other shuls, that they're learning from a Sefer Torah. Even though there's a psula in the Sefer Torah, it's missing a letter in one of the other Svarim, but as long as Sefer Shmos is Bishlei Muso, so the Ramah says that you can learn. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the other Poskim who don't like that Kula, in a big way. They don't go for that. Why not? It's a good Cheshbon. All you need is Sefer Shmos should be a Sefer Shalom, that Kisisa should be lain Mitech HaKsav. And thank God that it should look nice. So it could be that the other Poskim understood, not like the Ramah, that from Tein Kovod HaTzibur lo maspik, that it looks nice. It's not just an issue of Marisan. Maybe from Tein Kovod HaTzibur requires you shall lain from a Sefer Habris, not just that it should be Metech HaKsav. And the Sefer Habris is the whole Chamishu Chumash Torah. And if you're going to be Choser Oisacha, just like Choser Oisacha from Chumash Mois, won't be Metech HaKsav. It's missing. So if Choser Oisacha from the whole Chamishu Chumash Torah, the Sefer Shmos will be a Sefer Shalom, it'll be Metech HaKsav. But the whole Chamishu Chumash Torah will not have the status of the Sefer Abris. So it could be that that's what the Gemara meant over here as well, that if you lay in the Megillah HaKsuva Bein HaKsuvim, Mitoch HaKsav it will be. But since we have a din of Yeser Kenotel Domi, so you have whatever other things are written together. Let's say it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they used to have Megillahs, they used to have the brachas written into the Megillahs. They used to have the three brachas Shalafanah in the beginning, and the bracha Rabbi Yireni written in the end. So it's not right to do like that, lahatchila, it's not right. But the Yevet, what would be the din if you have the brachas written in? So you're going to say, yes, it cannot hold on me. So since you have extra words, it's considered as if there's something missing. But in the Megillah says, even if there are a lot of things missing, it's kasha adruba. As long as Raib of the Sefer is written, that's the Gemara Yud Chesem base. Even if a miut is missing, so it wouldn't be possible there. If you have a Sefer Torah, or you have a Novi, and you have the brachas written into the Sefer Torah, so Yud Reisachas passes the whole thing. But in a Megillah, the Gemara says that's a special kula. Most of the Rishonim learn special kula only in Megillah, because Nikris Igeris and Nikris Sefer, so we're makel on the receiver of the Megillah. So if you have a Megillah Sester, where you have an extra word there, you have extra brachas, you have an extra page, an extra column, so it wouldn't pass for the Yevet. It'll still have the status of a Megillah Esther. But let us, what if you have an extra Sefer? You have a whole Sefer. You have Megillah Esther together with Echa and Ruz and Koheles and Shir HaShirim. Or you have the whole Tanakh together. So maybe one can argue the point and say that since it's not just a couple of lines extra, a couple of a column or two extra, since you have a whole Sefer Sholem extra, so maybe that would be considered Yesa Kenatal Domi. So it's considered as if, and the other Svarim are not part of the Sefer Abris. Only the Chamishu Chamishu Torah have the status of Sefer Abris and Megillah Esther. So maybe that would be Poygame and the status of the Megillah Esther, that it wouldn't any longer be considered a Sefer Abris. So maybe that's what the Gemara means, that with Tzibur, you cannot learn from Megillah Ksuvah Bein Aksuvah, because it's similar to that Gemara in Gittin. If you should learn the Gemara Gittin the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achron, not like the Ramah, that if you're missing Loisachas and the other Sforim, as long as nothing missing in Shmos, then it's okay. The Kavod HaTzibur just means they shouldn't look like they can't afford. If you say that it means something much more than that, from the Kavod HaTzibur, the Halacha requires that the Kriya B'Tzibur should be done from a Sefer Abris. And if one should assume perhaps that the Megillah Esther also has the status of a Sefer Abris because there was another Kabbalah Satira, then if you'll have Ksuvah Ben Aksuvah, maybe that will constitute that'll be considered a situation of Yesek and Akel Domi. So the Megillah Esther will have the status of the Terchaksav, but it won't be considered a Sefer Abris anymore. So maybe that's what the Gemara means to say, that B'Yochid is good, as long as it's Terchaksav is good. But B'Tzibur, that's similar to the Gemara and Gittin, that we require the Kriya should be from a Sefer Abris. Yeah.
Just adding to that, I want to send the source for Megillah requiring that is
Uh-huh.
That's the
Gemara. Right, the Gemara says that the Ksivas HaMegillah is learned out from that pasuk. So
that's the Gemara.
I don't know. The Gemara Al Pi Pashtus on the Zayin Amud Aleph says that Ksov Zosi Korim HaSefer is not only the mocker for the right to incorporate Melchemes Amolek in Nevi'im and to incorporate Melchemes Amolek in Ksuvim. What do you have, Mechemes HaMolech in Nevi'im? You have Shaul HaMelech had a go. Nevi'im don't have any special. Sefer Shmuel, I don't know that it has any special status. Yeah. I don't know if Bas Sefer is referring to Esther. I think it's referring to all the Ksuvim. I think Bas Sefer refers to Ksuvim in general. The Koran is the way the Chachamim describe Novi. Zos is the way they describe Chumash. And the Koran is the way they describe Novi. And Basefer is the way they describe Ksuvim. This is the mocker. It happens to be the mocker for the mentioning of Amalek in three places, but it's also the mocker for the whole general institution of Tanakh. The whole Musud of Tanakh is based on that post. Anyway, whatever it is, that's a famous Gemara, the chilek between B'tzibur and B'yochid. Whatever it means, very shveri Gemara. Very shveri Gemara. We have a minig, a very old minig, that's at least from the days of the Gaonim and maybe earlier, that when the Baal Kori reads certain psukim in the Megillah, everybody says along with him, Udam Azarev Simcha Sos Mikor, Yishiri Hoi B'Shushin Abira, and so on, the last pasuk. Then we have a minhag, that when I'm saying the Sibur, he said, Hashem Hashem, Kalrach Mocham Nerach Hapayim Rav Chesediyem, as everybody says along with the Baal Kori. Everybody says along with the Baal Kori. Then we have a meaning when they lay in Echa, that we say along we say along with the Baal Kori. So the Gaonim write that this was one big meaning. It's not a meaning that's unique to Mikra Megillah. Over the course of the year, when they would learn Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaFtoras and Kriyas Megillahs and all the public Kriyas, the meaning would be that the Tzibu would say along with the Baal Kori 10 psukim. They sing and specify which 10 psukim they would say along. psukim of Yeshuas, Menachomis, and Tfilas, and so on. It's not uniquely, some make a mistake, they think that it's in order to keep the people awake, they shouldn't fall asleep in the Mikra Megillah, they should pay attention. It has nothing to do with that. They go ahead and put it together with the meaning of saying Hashem Hashem, Yerachem Echanad Yud Gimel Midas, Mishalach Delam Nen Chatzim Chatzono, these are psukim of Kapara. They had on Yom Kippur also, they used to say along with the Bal Koreh, some of the psukim of Kapara in the Kriyas HaTorah. An interesting meaning. The Gemara has a klal in Maseches Megillah that when you give an aliyah, you have to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and when you the whole Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Chamishi has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So Tosis raises the question regarding Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. All you're laying is to give 3 aliyahs. All you're laying is Vayovo Amalek, and all it has is 9 psukim. So one suggestion the Rishonim came up with that the Mechaber writes is that you repeat the last pasuk. So you read 10 psukim, you read 9 psukim, and you read the 9th pasuk twice. So in effect, you read 10 psukim, and that's oila for 10, even though it's the same pasuk twice. And then the Ramah says we don't have that practice. We follow the suggestion given by the other Rishonim that whenever it's Shalom in Yona, then there's no need to have 10 psukim. When the theme is completed, and less than 10 psukim, so it's good enough 10 psukim. The Gemara has that, the Bavli has that, when it gets to the 21 psukim of a Haftarah. Every aliyah has to have 3 psukim, and on Shabbos you give 7 aliyahs, so there have to be at least 21 psukim. So the Gemara says, the Chacham were Mesakin, whoever they were Mesakin, Kriyas Haftarah, Mechuvin Keneged, the Kriyas HaTorah. The Abu Dram claims the background of the Takanos Kriyas HaTorah was, we don't know exactly what his source is, but that's what he writes, the Takanos Kriyas HaTorah was that there was a period of time when the Goyim made Xeris Hashmad, they didn't allow the people to learn Kriyas HaTorah, so they would allow them to learn HaTorah. So they learned the HaTorah as a substitute, so they would learn the HaTorah with 21 psukim in it, Mechubin Kenegat, the 21 psukim from the Torah. And the theme, the section from the Navi, they would pick would be a section that has a theme of the Parshas HaShavuot. And then even after the Gzeirah was over, so the Tanoim said we should maintain this practice and continue to read the Haftarah. So that's how the Gemara comes upon, whatever, that's how the Avodram claims. But the Gemara makes part of the statement. The Gemara says that you need 21 psukim on Shabbos, and on Yom Tovah you only have 5 aliyahs, and each aliyah has 3 psukim minimum, so all you need the Haftarah can be shorter. It only has to be 15 psukim. So the Gemara says, but there are certain haftaras that have way less than 21 psukim. So how can you learn such a haftarah if the minimum is 21? So the Gemara says it's okay if it's shalim on the honor, if the whole theme is completed in less than 21 psukim, then you don't need 21. So that's what the Rishonim say. Hu adinami, the 10 psukim, that's what we assume. If the story of Amalek is completed in 9 psukim, so there's no need to repeat the 9th pasuk to make it into 10. This week's Sedra and Parshas Kisisa, the aliyahs are very uneven. The Kohen and the Levi are very long, and the others are much shorter. If you would take the Parshas Kisisa and divide it, if you have a Gabbai who's interested in dividing it fairly into fair size aliyahs, Sheni would be much earlier, Shlishi would be much earlier, and everybody would get, the Kohen and the Levi would get slightly shorter aliyahs, and the others would get slightly longer aliyahs. How come everything is so lopsided? So the Mogen Avram explains the meaning, because the only ones who were not involved in the Chet HaEgel were the Shevet Levi. Mila Hashem Eli says Vayosu Olof Kol B'nei Levi, the whole Shevet Levi joined him because they weren't involved in the Chet HaEgel, the others were. So it'll be embarrassing if anybody other than a Kohen or a Levi gets any part of the aliyahs of the Chet HaEgel. So we don't want to cause embarrassment to anyone, so that's why it shouldn't be a kitrug, whatever. So we give the Kohen and the Levi the aliyahs till the end of the story of the Chet HaEgel, and then the Yisraelim begin. Because of Aaron HaKohen, you mean the whole Chet HaEgel is in the Levi. Okay, so the whole Chet HaEgel is in the Levi. That's the minik, the Magen Avraham calls that. There was a big difference between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shniyos. The first time Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to receive the Luchas, he didn't bring anything up with him. It doesn't say that he brought anything up. So where did the material come from that the luchas that the Aseres Adibus were engraved on? So it says in the pasuk, "Valuchas Ma'aser Elokim Heima V'Amichta Michtav Elokim Hu Charis Al Aluchas," that the material was Ma'aser Elokim, it wasn't really from Olam Hazeh. V'Amichta Michtav Elokim, the engraving was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. The second lucha is the Rabban Shalom changed when Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the first luchos, and the second time the Rabban Shalom said, "Soluchos and luchos advarim, you bring up the luchos for chasavti haluchos, and I will only give you the michtav elikim, but it won't be a luchos ma'is elikim." The second time, the luchos were not from divine material, from tachas kisi hakoved, like the Medrash says. It wasn't something min hashamayim. It was just plain material from this earth. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik once said that it says in Midrashim, I still haven't found it, he said, it says in Midrashim, and this is al pi halacha like this, it's not drush, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach l'haylochas hakidushin by the first luchas, and a shliach l'kabolas hakidushin by the second luchas. The psukim in Shir HaShirim and in other places in Tanakh describe the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael as one of a husband and a wife. So the metaphor was carried further by the Chachamim in the Medrash as to understand that the luchas were the Kesef Kiddushin, that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave Kesef Kiddushin. The Rashi quotes the Medrash, what prompted Moshe Rabbeinu to smash the luchas? Because he didn't, the different suggestions in the Tanoim, a machlekes ha-Tanoim. Just like you have machlekes in Halacha, how to understand Pshat in the Pasuk, you have machlekes in the stories in the Chumash also. Sometimes you have a machlekes ha-Tanoim. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu smash the luchas? One view is that he didn't smash the luchas. He saw the oisis parchos, all the empty spaces get filled in again with stone, and it was so heavy, it was impossible for him to schlep such a heavy stone. So he dropped them. He didn't smash it. The other Tanaim say no, asher shibarta, that he smashed it on purpose, not that he dropped it and made it broke, because he couldn't hold it because the oisis were parchos. No, they say other Tanaim say no, that he was the one who did it. It was his decision. And why did he decide like that? So one Tana says because he made a kal v'chomer. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is masking with the medical chaim that madach, you're not permitted to give korban pesach to a ben echer, to a mumer, so here to give the luchas is the kol atarakula. How can you give luchas to a ben echer? And other tanoim give different opinions. So Rashi quotes another opinion from the tanoim that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Bnei Yisrael were violating the avodah zarah, they were worshipping the egel, so he didn't want them to be punished like an eshes ish as insa. So he smashed the luchas. It means that he never delivered the kesef kiddushin. So the Kala is only an Eishes Ish, she's only Mekudeshes once he delivered the Kesef Kiddushin. Before it's delivered, so she's any Mekudeshes. So if the Chachamim are treating it as if the Luchas were the Kesef Kiddushin. So the Rebbeinu Shlom was the Chassan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach, and the Knesset Yisrael are the Kala. So what kind of a Shliach was he? Was a Shliach L'Hilochas HaKiddushin, or was a Shliach L'Kabolas HaKiddushin? The difference being that if Moshe Rabbeinu is a Shliach L'Hilochas, and the Kiddushin is not Chal till he delivers the kesef. If he's shliach lekabola, so the kedushin is chal the minute the shliach gets the kesef. That's what Rav Soloveitchik claimed, that it says in the midrashim. After luchos it says in the midrashim that by the luchos rishonos, Rashi quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach lohiloches. So that's why he didn't want to deliver the luchos. He didn't want to deliver the kesef kedushin, so the Knesset Yisrael wouldn't be treated like an eshes ish as insa. But by the luchos shniyos, he had the status of a shliach lekabola. One can understand this, I never came upon the Medrash, but one can understand this based on this distinction, that the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everything. He gave the luchas, the material, and he gave the ksav. So everything was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so nothing was delivered to the Bnei Yisrael. He didn't get anything until he brought down the luchas. So he never delivered the goods. He never delivered the luchas to us. He smashed it. He didn't want to deliver it. But by the luchas shniyos, the Rebbeinu Shlom told him, I don't want you to have the ability to pull such a stunt again. I'm not going to give you a kesef of kiddushin. It's not going to be chal till you're going to deliver. You bring up, you bring up the luchas that you're going to bring up, and I'll engrave it. And my engraving, let's say the shliach is going to bring a box from the kala, the chassan will put the ring in the box. So the minute the chassan puts the ring in the box, so he's like the shliach. Is the shliach lekabolas hakidushin. So the psalochosh neluchas abanim was like the box, the container. So Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the container, the luchas heaven that he carved out from olam hazeh, from tachas sahar. Then the Rebbeinu Shlom, the moment that he engraved it, it was already Mekudeshes. So Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he would want to, he wouldn't be able to prevent the second Kesef Kiddushin from being Chal, because it was Chal the minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved it. The Gemara in Gittin and Daf Samach has a comment on the Pasuk, Ksav L'chos HaDvar Mehele Ki Alpir Dvar Mehele Karati Yitcha Bris Ves Yisrael. The Gemara says, Ksav L'chos HaDvar Mehele, HaEle is a Miut, HaEle. Only write down Torah Shebichzav. You're not permitted to write down Torah Shebalpeh. Dvarim Shebalpeh, Yatar Ashol Yomim Bichzav. You're not permitted to write down Torah Shebalpeh. Ki Alpi HaDvarim HaEle, Alpi means Balpeh. Al pi hadvarim ha'ele, only Torah shebal peh should be transmitted bal peh. You're not allowed to say dvarim shebichsav bal peh. So the Gemara derives from that pasuk dvarim shebichsav yatav asher liyomer al peh, dvarim shebal peh yatav asher liyomer bichsav. Reb Lezer admits in the Sefer Yireim asks a kasha, but we do it all the time. You say Ashrei, well, it's Yom Sukkah de Zimra. You say Oz Yashuv. You say everything bal peh. And even if you're reading from a siddur, but the siddur is also bal peh. Anything less than a sefer shomim on klav is considered bal peh. So we always do bal peh. And we have printed the gemaras now. So what's going on? So he says, yeah, the whole thing is only in the siddur rabbanon. It's only in asmachta. It's not to be taken seriously. And they only asked this and not that, and then when they saw that it's a shasta tag, Torah Shabbat is being forgotten, so they said, ah, forget about the Issa de Rabban. You can't keep up with such an Issa de Rabban. So Dovashi Efshar, it's a Gzeir de Rabban and She Ein Atzibu Chedem Lekayim. That's how the Rav Lezer Mimitz writes, the whole thing is an Asmach from the Rabban. Pasha Pshat, the Pashtus in the Gemara is not so. Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that it's a real Drosh Gmur, they're rising. The only question is, how do you, and then the Gemara has a comment on that Pasuk. The Christ's bris really only was on the Torah Shabbat. So Taisus quotes a big chunk of the Medrash that's mashlim what the Gemara, the Agarta. Taisus didn't get in some of the base quotes the Medrash. Echtav lo rubei Torosi haloka mozar nechshavu. Is that possible? Echtav lo rubei Torosi haloka mozar nechshavu. Remember where that pasuk is. So the Medrash has a comment on that. So the Taisus quotes the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says if he's going to make everything into Torah Shebichsav, he's not going to leave any Torah Shebal Peh, then Haloka Mozar Nechshavu, then the Jewish people will not be able to demonstrate their uniqueness. How will they be able to prove that they are the Amanif? All the nations of the world are going to read the Tanakh. Everybody reads the Bible. Mashma from the Gemara and Soita that the Yisr to be Malamit Torah to Anachri only applies to the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's how some Poskim say. It doesn't apply to the Torah Shabbat Shav. Gemara says in Chagiga that you're not permitted to teach Torah to Anachri. That Magidvav liyankiv chukum mishpatim liyisak. Kadosh Baruch Hu only gave the Torah to us. Lo asachin chadoy mishpatim liyidom, that you're not allowed to teach Torah to a nochri. But the Gemara says in Seito that Yeshua ben Nun had to write the whole Torah on the Avonim in Shivim Loshen in order that all the Umasadim should be able to come and read it. So how were they permitted? How are we allowed to teach them to write the Torah shebichsav b'Shivim Loshen to educate the Umasadim if you're not allowed to teach Torah to the nochri? So that's what some the Maariv Chai and that Gemara has a bit of a discussion on it. This really, Yesh has a tshuva about this, about teaching Torah in a university. Are you allowed to give a course in Gemara in a university when you have non-Jews who will be attending the class? Shvacha tshuva, that tshuva. So in the tshuva he quotes different sources who work on aspects of the Shaila. So he quotes the Maariv Chayes on the Gemara and Soita Perikel in the morning, where the Maariv Chayes makes this distinction. Rishonim sound like they hold like that. That Torah Shebichsav, you're permitted to teach the Umasolam. Only Torah Shebal Peh not. And that's what this Medrash sounds like it's saying, that Taisus quotes, that the Umasolam have a right to the Torah Shebichsav. We don't have to keep that a secret from them. The uniqueness, the Yechidus, that's only for the Jewish people, Mishpatim Ba'idom, that's on the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Gemara means to say, Al Pi Hadvarim Ho'ele Karati Itcha Bris Ves Yisrael, that the Kris's Bris was only... the Ikar Krisis Bris was only on the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Krisis Bris means that thing which shows that the Bnei Yisrael are unique. So the Mefarshim ask on the Gemara, how do you read that pasuk? Sov l'choes, how do you translate? Sov l'choes hadvarim ha'ele, write down the Torah Shebichsav, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati itcha bris ves Yisrael, because the Ikar Krisis Bris is really on the Torah Shabbat Peh. How does it make sense? Write down the Torah Shebichsav, Sov L'chos Advarim Ha'ele, because Ki Yalpi Advarim Ha'ele. So what do you have to write down the Torah Shebichsav for? It decreases peace on the Torah Shebichsav Peh, so let the Goyim write the Torah Shebichsav. What do we need it for? What do we need the whole Torah Shebichsav for? So the Chachamim must have understood in this interpretation of the pasuk that the word Ki Meshamish B'Dalot L'Shoinis, Rashi quotes on the Chumash, that the word Ki has many different meanings. one of the many different meanings the Rishonim say is that ki sometimes means the opposite from because. It means despite the fact that. It has opposite meanings. See, ki sometimes means do this because of that, and sometimes ki means despite the fact that. For example, in today's Sedra, in Kisisa, the Ibn Ezra comments on the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be with the Bnei Yisrael. You should go with us, the Shekhinah should not leave us, because we are a miserable nation. That's the reason why he should be with us. So some Rishonim say, yeah, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has one of his meanings is that he's a Merchel V'Soleach. So he's going to go with Tzadikim, so he won't be able to use that midah. So come with us, you'll be able to use that midah a lot. Shekhinah, come with us, we'll give you an opportunity every day to forgive us all of our sins. We like to do sins, we like to make you happy. We want to give you the ability to be Merchel V'Soleach. That's one shot that some of them are Farshim HaPunishah. And the Ibn Ezra has another interpretation. Ki Am Ksheyorifu means despite the fact that we are an Am Ksheyorifu. The word ki is Mishamish Bedal of Lashayna. And two of the interpretations are opposite. Ki sometimes means because, and sometimes means despite the fact that. Similar to the Miri's comment on the Pasuk in Tilim, Tuv Tamud Aslam Deni, Ki B'mitzvei Secha Hermonti. So the Miri interprets Pshat, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, enlighten me, explain to me what are the Tami HaMitzvahs. I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway. I have emunah. Mitzvah Secha Hermonti. I have emunah in all the mitzvahs. Even if I don't understand what they're all about, I'm going to fulfill them anyway. But he asks, Dabar HaMelech asked Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Tuv Tamud Aslam Deni, explain to me what the Tami HaMitzvahs are. So that's how the Chachmei HaGemara seem to have had a tradition in interpreting this pasuk. Sov luchas advarim ha'ele means write down only the Torah shebichtav, not the Torah shebalpeh. Ki al pi advarim ha'ele, I want you to write the Torah shebichtav, despite the fact that the Iker Krisis Bris is only going to be on the Torah shebalpeh, not on the Torah shebichtav. Well, the others will claim the Torah. The others will claim the Torah Shabbat.
Key to me is because, in other words, write only Torah Shabbat
because Dika Krisis
versus
Torah Shabbat.
So I don't care if they have Torah
Shabbat. Oh, only write this. Right. Savlacha Sadram Ha'ela, I mean the deal. Only write this because Dika Krisis is Torah Shabbat. If you're going to write everything, then you won't be unique. Could be. Could be that that's the Pshat. Could be that that's how the Medrash fills in the rest of the process. That the word ki means because. Good. Could also be. The Mishnah Megillah has a machlekes hatanaim. How much of the Megillah do you have to read? Let's say this week is Parshas Kisisa. So we're going to take out a Chumash Mos. We're not going to learn the whole Chumash Mos from the beginning to the end. We're going to take out a Sefer Shalom and learn Parshas Kisisa. Next week we're going to learn Parshas Vayakal. You don't have to learn everything. So the Gemara says you gotta have a Megillah Esther that's written with philosophy at Seifoy, and then the question is, well, how much of the Megillah do you have to lay? Mehechon kari adam sa Megillah yotzebei derechay v'asoy. The Mishnah on Yud Tesem and Aleph. So Rabbi Yehuda says you only have to read from Mishnah Yehudi Hoy Meshushan Abir. Rabbi Yosi says you only have to read from Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says you only have to read from Balai Lahud Nadosh Nas Hamelah. And we pasken like the Rav Meir in the Mishnah, Rav Meir Ramekula. You have to read the whole Megillah. But there are another three shittas in the Tanaim. They said you don't have to read the whole Megillah. You only have to read a certain section of the Megillah. But the Gemara adds on, even if you're like the other Tanaim, Afilu leman de Omar, Omar Rav Chelvu, Omar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Omar Rav Halacha Kidivri Ha'im Kula. We pass them like Rav Meir in the Mishnah, not like the other three Tanaim who chiseled off. We pass from Meir says you have to lay in all. But Afilu leman diyama miish Yehudi, even according to the other Tanaim, you have to lay in all. Tzvicha should take suva kula. You require that you, like Parshas Kisisa, you have to lay from the Sefer Shalom of Shmos. So you have to lay in whatever part of the Megillah you have to lay in. You have to lay in from a Megillah that's Shomer. Tzvicha should take suva kula. So the Rishonim here is Kakasha that the Gemara on the previous daf on Yud Ches on the base says that if you have a Megillah that's missing a little bit here and there, as long as Ruba is Kayon, so it's okay, even if a miut is missing. So the Rishonim asked the Kash over here, why does it say Tzvicha should take Suba Kulo? Megillah is a longer Megillah, very long Megillah. Even if you would be missing up until Balala Hud Nordosh Nasa Melech, or even if you're missing up until Ish Yudi Hoy Beshushan Abir, or even if you're missing, what was the other opinion? Achar Hadvarim Hoyle. Even if you're missing everything up until that, but it is Ksuva Kulo. So why can't he? It would be Ksuva Ruba. Ruba would be Kosov. So the Gemara said before, Ksuva Ruba is good. Even if you're all like Reb Meir, then you have to lay in everything. You don't have to lay in everything with Terech HaKsav. As long as the robe of it is read from Terech HaKsav, it's sufficient. So what's wrong over here if all you have written is from Ish Yehudi Hoyo An? So the Rishayim give two suggestions of Terutzim, and both of which are quoted in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. One answer that they suggest is maybe if you're missing Chiloso is worse. If you're missing in the middle a word here, a pasuk here or there, that's okay as long as it's Tzuva Rubo. But if you're missing at the beginning Tchilasa, it's not good. Maybe Tchilasa or Sofa, maybe just like you see Tchilasa is not good, maybe Sofa is not good, maybe you need the beginning and the end, and then missing in the middle is not so bad if you have Ksuva Ruba. And other Rishonim suggest maybe Tchilasa doesn't bother me either. Maybe the Kipede is if you're missing an Inyan Sholem. If you're missing an Inyan Sholem, that's not good. But if you're not missing, if you're missing anything less than an Inyan Sholem, then as long as it's Ksuva Ruba, that would be acceptable. That would be acceptable. So these two chumras are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That if you're either missing an Inyan Shalim, or if you're missing Chilasa also, for the Megillah will not be kosher. Now, in that din that the Gemara has on Yud Ches Amud Beis, this is a shaila that comes up every year. The Baal Kori starts reading the Megillah. My guy comes in a half a minute late. So he missed the Mikra Megillah. So he has to go to the 10 o'clock lane. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that let's say you missed a word or two in the middle of the Mikra Megillah. So since the robe of the word you heard from the Baal Korei, so the meat of the word you can say from a printed Chumash. Here also the guy comes in a half a minute. The Baal Korei is in Pasuk base of the first parak of the Megillah. So let him say quickly, the one who came in late, let him say quickly the three brachas. Let him take a Chumash and start saying the first Pasuk or two until he catches up to the Baal Korei. Then the Baal Korei will be on Pasuk Dalet. Okay? So then from now on I'll listen to the Baal Korei. So how much did I say Baal Peh? Just the first three psukim I said Baal Peh. The rov of the Megillah was recited, was read mitach haksav, only a miut was said Baal Peh. Would that be good or not? So the Mishnah Berurah has a machlokes with one of the earlier achrenim. One of the other achrenim says not acceptable because we are machmir if it's missing chilasa, it's no good. So here the guy is missing chilasa. He's saying chilasa Baal Peh. And the Mishnah Berurah tainis against this achren. I thought the Mishnah Berurah was right. I thought the Mishnah Berurah was 100%. We once had this machlokes in yeshiva. So I thought the Mishnah Berurah, neither of us knew, me and another Rebbe in yeshiva, neither of us knew that the Mishnah Berurah discussed the Talmud. So we had a machlokes on around. So I thought the Mishnah Berurah was right over here. That the Gemara says, Ksuva Ruba is sufficient. The Gemara Yud Chesam Beis, Ksuva Ruba is sufficient. So in Ksuva Ruba is sufficient, you have two kulas. You have kula number one, where's Yechevtz of a Megillah? How is that called? Not a sefer shalom. So that's chiddush number one. Nikris igeres, that in the text of the Megillah, the chet of the Megillah, must speak if it's ksuva ruba. Chiddush number two is ksuva ruba is good. You can lay, but where are you going to say the missing word from? You're going to say it baal peh. So how is that called kriyas haMegillah? So you can say ksuva ruba. I can lay from this Megillah, but then the word that's missing, I have to look into another Megillah and read that word from there. Then go back to this. But then 5 lines later, that Megillah is missing. So we'll go back here. But the Pashtus of the Gemara, that is not so. Ksuva Ruba, you don't have to switch back and forth from one Megillah to the other. Ksuva Ruba, you have a double Kula. Kula number one, that the Chefts of the Megillah is kosher, even though it's missing Miut. And Kula number two, that the Kriya can be a Kriya Baal Peh b'miyuto. As long as Rova of the Kriya is being Terchak Sav, and the Miut is Baal Peh, so you say Ruba Kukuloi. So you yaitu with Ruba Kukuloi. So it's a double Kula. You say Ruba Kukula and the Hechsha Megillah. I say, Fetar Shechazorei Sachas is no good. You don't say Ruba Kukuloi. And even if you have a Sefer Torah that's complete, have a Sefer Sholem, but the Baal Korei lanes here for the Kriya Baal Peh. So it's also not good. You have to lane the whole Kriya Terech HaKsav. So you have two dinim by Kriya HaTorah. The Chepta of the Sefer Torah has to be a Sefer Sholem, can't even be missing Oisachas. And the entire Kriya of the Sedra has to be Terech HaKsav. By the Megillah, you have a double Kula. The Chepta of the Megillah doesn't have to be Ksuva Kula, as long as Ksuva Ruba is Masbik. And the Kriya doesn't have to be kol kriya mitoch haksav, as long as rov of the kriya is mitoch haksav, and amir baal peh is good. So now this chumra that the Rishonim came up with, based on the Gemara in Yud Testament Aleph, that if it's missing chilasa is no good, what is that? Where does that chumra apply? I thought the pashtus is that the chilasa soifa inyan sholem is mekalkel. I thought that's only in the chepts of the sefer. What kind of a modern sefer is that? A book. The first page is missing. The last page is missing. A whole chapter is missing. So how can you call that a chepts of a sefer? It's missing tchilas a sefer in Yenshomen. But if the Megillah is a kosher Megillah, it has everything written from the beginning to the end. I walked in, one pasuk late. So I'm going to recite them. My Mikra Megillah, my Kriyas Megillah, and my first three psukim are going to be Baal Peh, and the rest is going to be Metech Aksam. So what is that based on? Ruba Kukula. So it makes a difference in Ruba Kukula, whether the Miut is the first three psukim, and the middle psukim, or the last psukim, or a word here and a word there. I thought the Mishnah Berurah was right, that that's Lomalo Lomori. It's not more Chomer. The Kriya Metech Aksav is not more Chomer on the opening section than it is later in the middle. On the Chepta the Sefer, the Din of the Chepta the Sefer, that makes a difference. A sefer that's missing tchilas a sofer in Yerushalayim, that's a shvacha sefer, so you can't rely on Ruba Kukula regarding the kedushas sefer. Anyway, but that's a machlokes is the Mishnah Berurah and other achronim. On Shabbos afternoon, one of the boys spoke at the meal here on Shabbos Parshas Zohar. So he started to raise a question, but I don't remember if he gave an answer. B'shas Ma'is, I didn't chap what the answer was. He pointed out that in the Haftarah, Shmuel HaNovi tells the Nevuah to Shaul HaMelech that he has to wipe out HaChatoim Ho'ele Es HaMolech. So he asked, why does it say HaChatoim? Why is it necessary to mention? Wipe out HaMolech. Why is it necessary to mention the description? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik once made a comment. He wasn't commenting on that pasuk, but what he said, I think, explains that pasuk. There is a famous Gemara in the beginning of Brachas, where the Gemara says that Rav Meir was very annoyed by the people who were sinning in his neighborhood, so he was praying that they should die. And his wife was Bruria, so she asked him, "My hi, how come?" So he said, "Yitamachatayim inoritz." Let them all drop dead. He was very angry. So his wife said, "No, if it would say in the pasuk Yitamachatayim inoritz, so then you have a right to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should all drop dead. But since it says Yitamachatayim, chatayim velo chotim." So what does that mean? So many interpret superficially what it means is that the sins should cease to exist, but the sinners, that's a different thing. We never pray that sinners should die. We only pray that sin should disappear from the face of the earth. That's what it means. So the Nesivis has a sefer on Chumash that's called Nachlas Yaakov. He has comments there on Agarata also. So he has a comment on that Gemara. He says that it doesn't mean that. That they're both descriptions of sinners. Chote and Chatoim Ho'ele Es Amolek. It doesn't mean sins. He's describing the people. Chatoim Ho'ele, talking about the human beings. Chote means a person who does Averis, a Bal Aver. Chatoim means a person who is a physical embodiment of sin, who is an incarnation of sin. That's the lotion that the Rav used there. Now. An incarnation of sin. He spoke, the Shir was in Yiddish. He said, Afakerperum. That's the same thing. Physical embodiment of Fakerperum. Kerper is a body. There's a fakeperum von chet, and then when he stuck in an English word, so the English word that he picked was an incarnation of. Okay, so he said at that time, Rav Soloveitchik also used it. He didn't say from the Nesivos, but he said the same comment that there's a difference between a chote and a chata. Chote is a human being who happens to do averis. No, a lot of people do averis, but a chata means a person who is so involved in sin that he is a physical representation, physical embodiment of sin. Like it says, ani tefilo. Pasuk says, ani tefilo. What does it mean? Ani ish tefilo. It's like the Baal HaMor and Kiddushin writes. The word ish is missing. What does it say? Ani tefilo? Ani shalom. What does it mean? Ani shalom. So the Baal HaMor says in Kiddushin, the first parak, it's move on the yale. It means ani ish shalom. Baal HaMor has on the Gemara, Yeshem HaMikli, Yeshem HaMasaris. He says, Masaris means it's move on the yale of the Tanakh that there are a lot of words missing. You have to interpret the pasuk as if there were another word there. So he says, Ani Shalom means Ani Ishalom. So why does he take to say Ani Shalom? So the Nesivos says, Ani Shalom, he was such, even though he was a warrior, David HaMelech was an Ish Mochama, but still he was known as such a man of peace. It was so interested, the man who was the big warrior who wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because his hands were involved in too much bloodshedding, he is the one who is describing himself in the Kisei HaKodesh as Ani Shalom. He was so interested in peace, you looked at him, he was the physical embodiment of peace. Ani tfilo means ani ish tfilo, but it means he was a person who was so rogel to daven, so he was like a physical embodiment of tfilo. You looked at that person, that's what you would be reminded of right away. So that's what the Jewish view is. That's what the Rav was giving a whole drasha about that at that time. The Jewish view is that there are two types of people. And in Shemana Esrei, we daven, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and all year long we daven that the sinners should do tshuva. Ashmin Avinu Sarasech, we daven all the sinners should do tshuva. But we also daven that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if you look in the beginning of Echein Tein Pachtecha, Chol HaRishu Kulo B'Yoshin Tichle, we pray to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that all of the wicked people should drop dead. And in the same paragraph we pray that all the wicked people should do tshuva. Tashtikal Asdiris, they said there are two categories of wicked people, some Achoitim, some Achatoim. That's exactly what Bruria said. Those who are Achatoim, they have to be wiped out. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik said in the Zohar and Kabbalah writings. Amalek is considered the representation of Chatoim. They're considered the incarnation of evil. So that's the Pashtus, I thought, why the Navi tells Shaul HaMelech he should go wage war against the Chatoim Ha'ela as Amalek. He should wipe out Amalek because they are Chatoim as opposed to being Chotim. Rav Kook added on to this, although that's the nature of the mitzvah b'chiyas Amalek, because they're absolute evil, they have no ki'ilu, they have no redemptive feature to them. Nonetheless, the Gemara adds on in Perakan Hazakim, "Ibnei Manav Shalhaman Lam the Torah Ibnei Brak." What does it mean that there really is no absolute evil? The Rebbeinu Shlom tells us that as far as we're concerned, this is Aman is absolute evil, and Amalek is that we have to wipe them out. But klapish my galya that it's not so. The Rebbeinu Shlom created a world that there's nothing really that kol ma'adav rachmanu l'tavarav. Everything that he created has to have some toiv. The Rebbeinu Shlom is a toiv, and everything he makes is toiv. So even things that he tells us that as far as from our perspective as absolute ra, but still klapish my galya that there is going to be some toiv. So that's what the Gemara wanted to bring out. Even descendants from Haman learning Torah Barabbi. I was reading something recently. I can't remember whether reading something or someone told me this story. Rav Soloveitchik was talking about the Nazis. So someone asked Rav Soloveitchik, must have been such a context of a discussion. Is it conceivable to visualize that some of the descendants of the Nazis will be chayzer b'tshuva in the future and it turned out that they'll also be learning Torah in Bnei Brak? So Rav Soloveitchik thought for a moment and he says, I don't know about that. But maybe the Nazis were worse than Amon. I don't know. The end of the story was the Kiddush Hashem.
Like Saddam,
his great grandchildren will be good. Could be. But Tzalo Vilna has an interesting comment on the Gemara on Yud Dalet Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says, Memches Nevim Amdu Lahem Liyisrael Ulo Pichsu Ulo Heisir Amma Shikos Batar Chutz B'mikra Megila Mai Dorish. And the Gemara says, so he said, and at the time that she, Esther had two takonis, Kivuni Ludoris and Kisvin Ludoris. Kivuni Ludoris make Kakriyas Yontif Ludoris, and Kisvin Ludoris she wanted to be included into the Kisvin HaKadosh, and both requests were granted by the Chachamim. They gave in first around the Kivuni Lidoris on the establishment of the Yontif, and then the Kisvin Lidoris, that was a bit of a hassle, the Gemara says, and later on they agreed that it should be both Kivuni, Kvias Yontif, and Kisvuni. That's on Zainim and Al. So here the Gemara says, L'pichsu l'osifus klum, but there was an issue. Originally there was an issue about the Yontif also. Is it right to make a Yontif? So they finally decided it's not a Baltasif. So Rav Shlomo Levilna has a comment on this Gemara where he says maybe that's the reason why they made such a strange takkonah that the Bnei HaKfarim read on the Yom HaKnisa and all the regular Jews in America read and they read on Yudalit and in Yerushalayim and Shushan they read on Tezvot. Why do they make such Zman and Harbi Tikkalam Chacham? Why do they make a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs? He says maybe that's why, because they're going to make HaKohol Chuka Achas Lahem V'lager Agav B'Sochem, everybody has to do the mitzvah the same way, then it's look like a Baltasif. It's going to look like they're adding on a mitzvah to the Din HaTorah. The Din HaTorah usually, a din is a din, and it's observed by everybody on the same day. You don't have these people observe it on this day, and these people observe it on that day. So he suggests maybe that's exactly why the Chachamim instituted that they should be Zmanim Harbi, Tiknalem Chachamim. That's the Gemara's drash on the first Pasuk. Zmanehem means Zmanim Harbi. Everybody should fulfill the mitzvah of the mitzvahs of Purim on a different day, in order that it shouldn't look like a Baltasif. Rav Kook added on, he said over this vart, and he added on the Rambam and Hilchas Mamrim that we discussed recently, I think, that if you make a Takona de Rabbanon and you tell the people that it's a Din Deraisa, then it's a Baltasif. the Ravid asks, what do you mean Baal Teisa? But that's what all Asmachtas are all about. They make a din derabanan and they fool the people into believing, they pull the wool over their eyes, they fool them into believing that it's a din derais. Machlek is the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Mamre. Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his grandfather Rav Chaim, what do you mean? The Rambam, the Ravid holds you're allowed to fool the people into believing that it's a din derais? That there's nothing wrong. And the Rambam says it's an Isser of Baal Teisa. Why is it Baal Teisa? It's an Isser of telling a lie. You're not allowed to fool the people. So he thought that that's not what the Meduber is at all. The Rambam and the Rambam neither is talking about fooling the people. The Rambam meant to say you're not permitted to make a din derabanan with the same choymer ha din as a din derais. If you make a din derabanan so strict like a din derais, that would be a violation of Baal Teisa. That's why the Rambam holds that they had to make Sveika the Rabbanon, Lakula Himnu Rabbanon with the Rabbanon. We discussed it on the Abdalit, on the Gemara Himnu Rabbanon with the Rabbanon. And the Ravid is Matik, and he says, no. Why do they make Asmachtis? That you do have the right. The Ravid holds that that's not a violation of Baal Teisa. We do have the right, it's permissible to institute it in the Rabbanon that has the same Chaymer Hadin as a Din Derais. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said b'shem his grandfather Rav Chaim. He said that just like the Rambam's opinion is that you're not permitted to institute a din derabanan of the same choymer hadin like a din derais, that would be Baal Teisa. Similarly, one is not permitted to be medactic so much on a minig to the same extent of seriousness as on a real din derabanan. So that's why he said it in the context of the issue of kitnias b'pesach. Sometimes there would be a shnas batzoris, there would be a famine, and there wouldn't be tuna. The people are dying in certain parts of Africa. Mamish died from starvation. So in Europe, and sometimes there was a hunger, there was hardly anything to eat, and the only thing they could eat would be kidneys on Pesach. So the Shaila was, if you won't be mad to them kidneys, they'll starve, they'll go hungry. So that's where Rav Chaim was noita lahokil on the kidneys le'is hatzorech, and he added on this hatoma, this hasbara. That just like the Rambam's opinion is, that was his interpretation of Rambam. Rambam's opinion is that you're not permitted to be machmir in a din derabbanan to the same extent as a din deraisa. Similarly, not permitted to be machmir in a minik to the same extent as a din derabbanan. Okay, I think there's somebody speaking now. I forgot all about it. Everybody's invited to come to my home if you're.